Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, happy Monday, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm your co-host, Michelle Pache, and I'm here today with Dr. Tim Hayes. We warmly welcome you to the show, and thank you for choosing to be with us. Today is November 4th. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk with Dr. Tim. We would love to hear your comments and questions, because then that makes this your show. So now, let's welcome Dr. Tim in the process of learning and practicing forgiveness.
Well, thank you, Michelle. Thank you for being here. How was your weekend?
You didn't hear. You didn't hear the cheers over in Illinois?
No, I didn't hear any cheers.
I happen to have graduated from Michigan State University, and as you may have seen in the paper, we won the big rivalry against U of M this weekend.
So you graduated?
Yeah. Well, I live in a home with diehard U of M students and fans, and so generally I don't enjoy this level of privilege, but it was funny. I'd have to say I could barely be happy, let alone gloat. There was strict orders.
Well, so what did you graduate with?
I have my undergraduate degree is from Michigan State, and my master's in psychology is from a private school.
All right. Well, so you didn't graduate this weekend. That's what I thought. I heard you say that you graduated this weekend.
No.
So this weekend was simply the rivalry, and your team won. I get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, congratulations on the big win. I'm sure your life is much better now that your football team has won.
Well,
it's kind of funny how we put all that energy out there and have our moods ride up and down on a game.
You know, it's interesting. That thought actually crossed my mind. My one son was so upset when Michigan State made this last-minute 87-yard run that he actually had to leave the home. He had to walk it off.
Yeah, there was an interview with Bobby Knight, who was not many people's favorite coach, but they were trying to get him feeling pressured about the fact that he didn't participate in or encourage his players to pray before games or in the locker room. And his response was cute. He said, well, yeah, a lot of people are out there and they're praying, you know, dear Lord, let me hit a home run. And then they hit a home run. And then, oh, thank the Lord Jesus, let me hit a home run. And he said, and I'm sitting there watching the game thinking, yep, Jesus just screwed the pitcher. So if one person's happy and another person's sad, We're talking about a zero-sum game. And what we're trying to help people understand in this work is that it's not a zero-sum game, and that anybody who traps you into thinking you have to be sad or hurt for somebody else to be angry, or somebody else has to change for you to be happy, or that you can make somebody happy by your choice of a behavior or a word, it's a trick. And the ancient Aramaics understood this. They understood that there's this unspeakably large, powerful energy system with an intelligence driving it that's far beyond the capacity of the human mind. And that the human mind is contained not just within the physical body, but within this larger energy system. And that people who get small, who pick 9 bits of information at a time, who think in terms of their culture or their team or their tribe or their country or their family as us against them, whether it's the neighbor or the neighboring school or the neighboring country, that's an illusion. Now, as the way of mastery will say, within an illusory world, an illusion can have great power. But in actuality, illusions have no power. So we're here to help demonstrate to people, teach them a tool which will allow them to demonstrate to themselves that the illusion of anger, fear, sadness, hurt, shame, bitterness, condemnation, confusion is an inside job. It's not being caused by the events around you and outside of you. And the tool for unraveling the energies that your mind and body uses to create those negative emotions as warning signals to you that you're making an error in thought, the tool is called forgiveness. And in the ancient Aramaic teachings, forgiveness had nothing to do with pardoning somebody else or letting them off the hook. Forgiveness is a tool that I use to go inside my own mind, my own thoughts, my own memories and energies, and unravel and dismantle and discard whatever is less than the true energy of love that was intended to be there. And if you'd like access to this tool, which can help you live happily whether your team wins or loses, and can allow you to choose happiness and peace even if someone is screaming at you in anger, it's available for free on the internet site that Dr. Michael Rice and Jeannie have made available at www.whyagain.org. If you go to that website, on the opening page, there's a red and white bullseye in the center of the page, in the upper left-hand corner. There's a red word that says words that say start here. If you click on either one of those, it'll take you to a page that will let you download more material than you'd ever need to get started, to begin the practice of forgiveness, to apply it to your life, and to become a master, which in this work means to choose to become a perpetually avid student of this work. There's chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again?, in which he outlines the forgiveness process and the worksheet process. There's the download that lets you have in your possession the most recent version of the 7-step worksheet process. And there are 6 audio files that you can download and listen to people getting assistance in applying that tool of forgiveness, the reality management process, to whatever problem they call in with. Real people with real problems, and you'll get to see the level of resolution that each of them reach if you listen in to those. You know, the work weaves in and out of several different schools of thought. Some of them are very, very similar. One of them is Course in Miracles, and Dr. Rice has been quoted as saying that he's only found this definition of forgiveness that he found in the ancient Aramaic Kabura's manuscript, which is a 6th century copy of a 2nd century New Testament. And he actually had this large book in his possession at one point in time, and he was the director of a foundation that is charged with translating that book directly from the ancient Aramaic into English. And in that process, he found this definition of forgiveness, which is to shabag, to cancel, to dismantle any energies, thoughts, or beliefs in my mind that result in me feeling anger, fear, sadness, hurt, shame, any negative emotion. And he's quoted as saying that he's only heard or found that definition of forgiveness that clearly in 2 places. One of them is the ancient Aramaic work from the Kabura's manuscript, and the other one is in the Course in Miracles. And in my work, I have found that something very similar, if not identical to it, is available in The Way of Mastery and in Guy Finley's work and Krishnamurti's work and various others. But I was listening to Krishnamurti earlier this morning, and he said the following quote: "All painful conclusions are the result of an incomplete perception. All painful conclusions are the result of an incomplete perception." And I take that to mean very much the same thing Dr. Michael Rice means when he talks about how there is Harvard research that says in the period of time it takes my brain to fire 10,000 units of electrical activity, my conscious awareness can only track 9. That's 9 individual bits, not 9,000 out of 10,000, but 9, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 bits of information in the period of time my brain is processing 10,000 bits of information. And in that same period of time, it's estimated that there are over 20 trillion bits of information available for my mind to choose from that are hitting my senses, etc. So in any moment where I have anger, fear, sadness, hurt, shame, guilt, frustration, confusion, Dr. Rice would say, this is simply an indication that I'm choosing the wrong 9 bits of information, that I am not seeing the whole picture. And if I could see the whole 20 trillion bits of information and process it, I wouldn't be in anger or fear or sadness or hurt. I would see truth, light, love, the energy of creation flowing, and my part in it. Guy Finley says it this way: all painful conclusions are the result of an incomplete perception. So, if this is intriguing to you at any level, give us a call at 646-200-4169. Press 1. Michelle will know that you have a question, a comment, a refutation, a validation, or an exaltation you would like to share with us. Michelle, anybody with their hand up or anybody chatting in the chat room? Michelle, are you there? Or have I been talking to myself for the last 14 minutes?
No, I'm here. We've got several callers listening and some people in the chat room, but nobody with their hand up right now. So feel free to press 1.
Does that stir up any thoughts for you, Michelle? All painful conclusions are the result of incomplete perception.
I think I'll, you know what? I think I will press the mic for area code 541. I think this might be Julie from Oregon. Hello, how are you, Julie?
Hi, yes. It's Julie. Thank you. How are you?
Good.
You have me memorized by a number. my prefix. Anyway, thank you for everything that both of you are doing. I just love this show, no matter who is at the helm, you know, because it honors all of us at our own helms, I suppose. So, yes, I love what Krishnamurti said. That's really great. And I have an interesting experience going on. I have to say, every worksheet I do just enhances me in exponential ways, more so than, you know, quantity. It's not how many I do. It's that I do it earnestly. And I'm getting the feeling that I'm living in my own ashram and that I'm the guru and I'm also the participants. And here's the visual I can give you. I live in my own home and I have three roommates. And there's all kinds of scenarios going on. And I'm supposedly in charge at some level. Of course, I'm creating it all. I've drawn all these energies to me. And what is presenting itself for me at this time is a scenario of mother-father. My parents divorced when I was 12. And with what you said today, I about the incomplete perception, I know that this is a healing opportunity for me to heal my incomplete perceptions and all the conclusions I drew way back then. And I don't mind letting the audience know that I'm 60 years old now, and this was all in my family around age 12 and probably prior. So what I'm witnessing is mother and father role-playing of a relationship that's in a lot of stress. And you know, I'm just seeing how the dance goes. I did offer some Michael Rice DVDs. I had them playing on my television screen, you know, off and on for the last week. And as people pass through the room, they get tidbits. And I figure maybe through osmosis it will become a friendly environment. And I offer that we can do some worksheets and that I'm going to be starting my support group. And so there's a real energy space of healing potential here. And it's kind of neat. And I've never had this much awareness of my power to create a situation and actually see that it's all for me. And I'm really grateful to be able to see that and to utilize it. And I'm not saying it's easy. Right now I'm in a kind of a, I could call it blissful in the sense that it's neutral and I feel balanced and at peace with it all state. I'm in a blissful state because of the awareness I'm able to hold about it. And so I'm just letting people know that this work is transformative in ways that we may never even expect until they just are on our horizon, and we have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. So I'm so grateful for this work. And I pass it on to you now. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to hear that you're doing the worksheets and they're having such a positive impact on your life. It reminds me of the lines from Way of Mastery where it says, your life, the very life you're living today, is the most perfect ashram you could ever visit. Everything that happens to you today, tomorrow, and the next day, once you have made the determination that you want to grow, that you want to have more love, conscious awareness of your true nature as love, that you want to have a more direct relationship with your true nature as part of creation and as connected to everything, then everything that happens happens for you, not to you. So congratulations for being in that space, and I hope you're able to maintain it permanently.
Yeah, you know, thank you for saying that. I have been noticing that I don't need to go anywhere or do anything because whatever is appropriate shows up exactly as I need it to show me something. You know, so I don't need to go to groups, and I don't need to go to a lot of trouble to make things happen. I do need to actively participate in my life and take action. I'm not saying I'm a spiritual couch potato, I call it. You know, but the fun of it is that I get to take action, and I know from the work I've done and with people who have helped me see in this work, who've worked with me, like Julie Haverstick and Susan Giles and Magda Preston, and so many people have worked with me really directly. I'm seeing that there is this field of possibility that I can sow into what I desire from, and what my desires are from love. And even if I'm not conscious, I'm continually sowing into my field maybe things that I don't desire, except that on a level of desiring to see what's in the way of a loving creation, of my perceiving it and my experiencing it. So I hope that was a little bit clear, because that's something I'm still working with quite a bit. But it does get to be really fun, and there are times that I'm scared because I don't know where I'm going to create money from or this and that. And I know enough now to look at the fear and see what I'm believing, what goals I have that are part of my reality I'm creating, and see what I can remove and allow it to expand in a loving way for myself. Anyway.
Well, as I said, congratulations. It sounds like you're in a very nice space, and as Michael likes to quote the Course in Miracles, saying, when you're healed, you're never healed alone. So thank you for doing your part in the work, and I'm glad it's having the potential to impact your roommates as well and the rest of the people in your support group.
Yeah, you know, we have a flock in our lives, and we are in a flock. And we're well tended and well cared for, and we can extend that, you know, almost as simply as breathing and seeing, being willing to see the love in every situation. And that's so magnificent. And I, you know what, I won't hog the show here, but I did want to share, and I appreciate so much the level of work that people do. I feel it's always a call for me to step up, you know, and step into is up. Step into what's right in front of me. So if it's a lot of pain and resistance and chaos, then that's where my work is. And my willingness to do it is enhanced by knowing there are others holding the space and creating the space as they do the work themselves. And it's just such a relief, and it offers so much hope. So.
Well, thank you for being on the team, and we'll look forward to updates as you see fit.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Blessings.
Bye, Julie.
Bye, Michelle.
So, Michelle, is there anything else going on the phone lines or in the chat room?
Not right now. Quiet Monday.
A quiet Monday. So we're here to talk about forgiveness. We're here to talk about how when I am feeling something that I would label as painful or uncomfortable or negative in any way, that's the alarm system that creation has put in me. This is not a zero-sum game. This is not somebody wins and somebody loses. Every appearance to that effect is only a partial perception. It's an incomplete perception. And we can choose all kinds of goals and choose sides and identify with different things that leave us feeling sad or hurt or upset when life lives. And life lives through us. But as I mentioned last week on the show, I woke in the morning with the following statement. Life either turns out the way I think it should, or it gives me another opportunity to release my resistance to the flow of life. So I'll say that again. When I get up in the morning and I have an idea about how things should go, if I pour a cup of coffee and I think it should stay in the cup until I'm sipping it or drinking it at my level, and it spills on the table, that's not the way I thought life should go. So life either goes the way I think it should, or it gives me a wonderful opportunity to release my resistance to going with the flow of life. If the coffee spills, that's an opportunity for me to release resistance, because I'm probably not going to be happy because my thought was the coffee should stay in the cup until I'm ready to drink it. If I go out to my car and I try to start it and it won't start, I'm probably not going to be happy. I might be some other negative emotion, or I might just be in the flow in the moment and say, oh, I wonder how this will turn out for the best. In which case, I don't have any sizable resistance to the flow of life. But if I start to get angry, if I start to get scared that I'm not going to make it to my job and I might get fired, if I start to get resentful of someone who was working on the car last week and say they should have known this was going to happen, or maybe they set it up to, any of those negative emotions or resistance to the actual events in the moment are an opportunity for me to release my resistance to the flow of life. And when I'm allowing life, the energy of life, to express through me and around me, and understanding there is an intelligence far greater than my mind orchestrating events, then I don't get upset when my tiny little mind with its 9 bits at one moment plans for something to happen that don't pan out that way, because clearly something better is in store. Clearly, my little 9-bit mind had a partial perception, an incomplete perception, that thought it's going to be best for me if this happens and then that happens and then that happens. And a far greater mind steps in and says, wait a minute, you missed all this stuff over here that's really important, and that because of all of this, we need the coffee to spill and the car to not start. And just breathe and release your resistance to the flow of life and watch, Tim, watch what happens next. And if I stay in that flow, if I breathe and release my resistance, I have, and I probably will continue, to see miracle after miracle, little tiny coincidence after little tiny coincidence, synchronicity, some people call them, miracles, others call them, in my life that I never would have seen if I had my resistance at full bore. If I was identifying with, doggone it, that coffee shouldn't have spilled and that car should be working and that traffic shouldn't be there and that refrigerator shouldn't have broken down. And when I'm in those moments, I'm selecting the wrong bits of information and only very, very tiny little slices of data out of life. And I'm constructing a picture that says, I'm right and life is wrong. And I'm creating a hallucination for myself in which there's a reason for me to feel sad or angry or scared or confused. If I take a breath or two and I realize that my little 9-bit mind doesn't even know how I digest the food I ate this morning or get up and walk to the door when I decide to do that, I realize, wow, there are trees growing and traffic flowing and worlds spinning around worlds and babies being born and all being driven by an intelligence far greater than my mind. I don't know what's best for me. I do know that I can learn a little bit more about how to release my resistance to the flow of life. And what I've discovered over the past, 10 or 12 years since I've been introduced to this material is the more I release that resistance to the flow of life, the more loving, the more bountiful, the more creative, the more energetic, the more compassionate my life becomes. And we would like to invite you to try that for yourself. We would like to invite you to pick up the tool of forgiveness, the reality management worksheet, and apply it to any situation in your life where you feel a negative emotion. That's your alarm system telling you, you know what? You're focused on the wrong 9 bits of information. You're having a painful conclusion because you have an incomplete perception. Stop what you're doing, take a breath, broaden your perception, realize, I think in Course in Miracles, there's a lesson on a new beginning. Yeah, Dr. Rice has a lecture titled Course in Miracles, A New Beginning. It says, wake up in the morning and decide what kind of day you want to have. And then at any point in time during the day, if you start to feel that your day isn't going the way you want to, you wanted it to, then realize you're probably not offering that kind of day to the world. And then take a breath and say, I forgot the answer. I forgot to have a question. I hope I'm wrong, because if I'm right, it means I have to hold on to the pain. But if I give up holding on to the pain, and open myself to the question that, oh, I guess my perception has been limited or wrong here, and then breathe, I open myself to observations and experiences at a different level that time and time again will help me have the kind of day that I said I wanted to have. I love what Michael says in that lecture about how when I get up in the morning and I say, I want to have a day of peace, I want to have a day of comfort, I want to have a day of love and compassion and respect, then my job then has to be to offer those qualities, those energies in my interactions with everyone and everything from the next moment on. So if I want to be treated with love and respect, if I want to have compassion and joy coming toward me, I need to plant the seeds by loving, respecting, have compassion and joy for everyone and everything in my environment. And my environment in that point includes anyone that I think of. Because in the ancient Aramaic, the word neighbor didn't just mean the person who lived near you. It meant anyone you hold in thought, anyone you think of. And if I breathe and I extend those energies to people throughout my day, being mindful, being awake, being aware, being in the present moment, however you want to talk about it, being in the presence moment, as Guy Finley would say, if I give those energies moment by moment by moment, I will transform my experience of life in that moment. I will transform the kind of day I have. Michael says, you know, most of us get up and we say we want a loving, respectful, joyful day. And doggone it, the world better give it to me, because I've had enough of this, things not going my way. And I walk out, and my energy now is demanding, it's restrictive, it's judgmental, it's zero-sum game, it's resistant. Well, that's ridiculous. And the example Michael uses is, let's say there's somebody who wants a crop of sweet corn. And in the spring, they go out to the nice fertile field and they plant a bunch of oat seeds. and somebody comes by and says, hey, wait, I thought you said you wanted a crop of sweet corn. And they said, well, I do. And they ask them, well, why are you planting oat seeds? Well, because these are left over from last year, and it's a lot cheaper than going and buying corn seeds. But, you know, but I'm holding them. I'm going to have corn in the fall. The world doesn't work that way. This is an energy system. This is an energy system within an energy system within an energy system, and it works on the law of resonance. As you give, you receive. As you sow, you shall reap. If you sow oat seeds, you reap oats. If you really want sweet corn, you better go get some sweet corn seeds and plant them. If you want a loving, respectful, joyous day, you need to do everything within your mental focus of capacity of focus of your conscious awareness to keep your energies focused on your true nature of love and joy and extend that energy in every interaction with every person and everything throughout your day, regardless of whether or not the world and life and the flow of life seems to be working out the way your 9-bit mind tells you you wanted it to. So, if you want a joyous, respectful, creative day, compassionate day, give that energy of joy, creation, trust, respect, and compassion in every moment to everything you interact with and every person you interact with, whether in person or through your thoughts, and just watch how it transforms your life. This is an energy system. You are an energy field within an energy field within an energy field. There are ways it works and ways it doesn't work so well. There are laws that are natural laws that are just another way to say this is how it works. Not laws that some rule that a government made up, but simply an observation of how the system functions. If you want more joy, you want more love, you want more respect, more compassion, more energy in your life, take some deep breaths. Cancel any goals for the world to be the way you want it to be. Turn your conscious awareness and focus it on your true nature as the energy of creation and love, and then extend that energy of joy, respect, compassion, creation to everyone and everything you interact with, moment by moment. And just watch the changes in your life. So I'll take a breath and ask if we've stimulated any questions or comments with that bit of talk, Michelle.
Nobody has a hand up.
Does that stir up any thoughts for you?
It does, and I don't know. I must not be in a good space because sometimes it feels like it doesn't work as seamlessly and beautiful as you put it.
We're so glad you're here, Michelle. You know how many people are out there listening to this saying almost exactly the same thing that you just said? What is he, nuts? You just extend love and you get love and it works seamlessly every time? Well, that's an excellent question. Is it going to happen that in every moment where I choose to focus on my true nature as love, that it transforms the world and that's what I'm going to see in my through my mind's eye? No, it doesn't mean that. It does mean that the more I do that over time, moment by moment, the more I choose to see through the hallucination of anger, fear, sadness, hurt, confusion, and see it actually as a hallucination. And the mind energy that's been accumulated by the world over time and through my generations. And the more I work to see my true nature, the more I get demonstrations in my life. But does it work that way seamlessly, easily, when you first try it? Well, it didn't for me. Now, that's not to say that it won't for some, but I've been practicing this for at least 10 years now. The practice looks something like this. I wake up in the morning and I say, well, nice deep breath. Well, this is what I'd like to have, and I'm pretty sure that I'm going to get irritated and frustrated and sad and scared and feel hurt throughout the day sometime today. And I want to be watching for the early warning signs of those energies. And I want to catch it as soon as I can in that process and call a timeout for myself, take a few deep breaths, and start asking a series of questions like, I wonder how this is going to turn into a blessing. I wonder how this is going to work out for the best. I wonder how this contains a lesson I need to learn to move to the next level in my development. And when I first started that, I probably caught myself once or twice a week being angry. And I was probably angry 4,000 or 5,000 times a week. But as I worked at establishing that as a habit, I started catching myself earlier and earlier in the process of being angry, irritated, scared, confused, frustrated, hurt. And by the time 2 or 3 years had passed, it was becoming a habit, and it was growing in strength. I've introduced this concept to people, and some of them have had much more success much more rapidly than I have. I've had people come back after just a few months and say, oh my gosh, it makes a huge difference. I try and do that every day now because it's just really, really making my life better. And what I mention to people is, it makes my life better in ways that words can't really describe, but I say these two things to point them in the direction. The first thing is, I can tell you without any qualification whatsoever that I spend a lot less time in anger, fear, sadness, hurt, frustration, confusion in my life day to day than I used to before I started this practice. I spend a lot more time in contentment, in love, in compassion, off the charts improvement in that area. And the second thing I'll mention is that I see so many more little miracles, and not so little miracles. Some people call them coincidences. Some people call them synchronicities. But I see so many more of those in my life when I'm doing this practice than when I'm not. It isn't even, there aren't really words to describe it. It's amazing how many more wonderful little miracles or coincidences I notice when I first catch myself getting angry or tense or tight or scared, and I take a deep breath and I start asking those questions. I instantly feel better. I calm down. I don't pour as much energy into the focus on the thoughts that create those negative emotions. And I think it's mostly because I'm in this more relaxed state that my perception is wider and broader, that I'm seeing more of the coincidences, more of the blessings, more of the miracles, more of the synchronicities. So you're right, Michelle, it doesn't just work that way when you flip a switch and say, okay, I'm going to extend love and that's all I'm going to get back. In part because my interpretation of what I'm getting back is always only partial. And if we come back to how we started this off with Guy Finley's quote about how any painful conclusion is the result of an incomplete perception, then instead of me saying, oh, this didn't work, I need to say, oh, I'm still only perceiving a partial reality, a partial actuality here. I need to take another deep breath, step back, and see how I'm still constricting my thoughts to those things that help me create an image in my mind of how the world is not complying with my thought of how it should be. So, I'll take a breath and ask if we have any hands up, any questions from the chat room, or any comments from you, Michelle.
Nope. And nobody with their hand up, so feel free to press 1. We've got 15 minutes left in the show. We'd love to hear from you today. Pardon me?
The number is 646-200-4169, and press 1 if you have anything to say.
So just my comment is that for the first time, I'm breathing a little bit easier because he's gone now, but I noticed my husband's phone number on the switchboard when I dialed in, and I was tickled about that. So when he left, I was like, okay, good, so he's not going to call in and say anything. I was laughing about that to myself, so now he's gone and I can say it. But
my question is, did you want him to press 1 and say something, or did you not want him to press 1 and say something?
No, I was I was afraid. Well, no, I don't think he was. I was afraid. I don't think he would have done it, but I thought it was interesting that he was listening.
So what were just play the game a little bit. If you had been afraid, what would you have been afraid of?
Well, this style sounds really good, Dr. Tim, but your radio hostess isn't using these tools as much as she could.
You were afraid that he would say that you're not perfect? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, it just, you know, it seems easier to do worksheets and get back in a space of love on mundane routine things and people and strangers' events, but you know, when the emotional stakes are higher, it feels a little more complex to me.
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, earlier today I was mentioning to someone how yesterday I was living pretty much in the moment from the time I got up all the way until about 3 o'clock. And I can tell you what I did from the time I got up yesterday until about 3 o'clock, pretty much moment to moment. But I was in bed last night wondering, what happened to the evening? I went to sleep last night wondering, gee, what happened? How did it get so late? What am I doing here? And so throughout the night last night, I woke up several different times and I made 6 different notes about things that I either should have done before I went to bed or that I didn't make notes on to remind myself to do them today. And I woke up this morning and I thought again, gee, what happened? And you know what happened at 3 o'clock? I met with my family for an early dinner. And then living in the moment and the mindfulness went out the window. And there's nothing wrong with my family. It's a wonderful family. We had a nice dinner, early dinner, because my son's traveling to Philadelphia this week and he had to get up and get picked up at 3 in the morning for a cab ride, so he needed to have an early dinner. But I left there and went home and had gotten so triggered about something that all my plans for the evening, all my habit for the day of living in the moment, went right out the window. And I can't honestly tell you what I did with all that time between 5 o'clock and 9 when I went to bed. And it wasn't real productive, whatever it was. There was a little bit of reading, but there weren't, as I mentioned, there were notes I should have made, things I should have done before I went to bed, and notes I should have made to make sure I don't drop the ball on any important things today, right out the window. So I love Stuart Wilde in one of his books is talking about people, and they all talk about how they're enlightened and they've followed their guru, and then they surpass their guru, and they've reached this level of enlightenment and that level of enlightenment. And he says, you know what? When I hear that from somebody, I tell them, look, I will give you that you're enlightened 1 week after living with your family of origin for a week. Give me somebody who says they're enlightened. I want to live with them with their family of origin for a week, and if at the end of that time they're still smiles and roses, then we'll say they're enlightened. But that's always going to be the biggest set of triggers, because as you said, Michelle, it's who we have the most investment with. And Michael talks at a different level about how we open ourselves to have them access the deeper levels of our unconscious as a mechanism to help us stir up the stuff that we've hidden from ourselves, because it's that very stuff in the form of energies that are traumatic and angry and fearful and sad and hurtful thoughts that are killing us from the inside out, and we've blocked them from our awareness. So we enter into relationships where we allow people to get close enough to have access to that unconscious material and stir up the very thing we need to dismantle so that we can move back to our focus on our conscious awareness of our true nature as love.
You're not alone. I keep practicing keeping that present and in my mind when my anger is resonated or my hurt, my fear. I actually pulled out the responsibility communication sheet guidelines, and I studied it a little bit before I went in for this conversation. I printed it out and brought it by my nightstand so I could refer to it throughout the conversation. Yeah, not so much.
Well, so, you know, that responsibility communication tool is a wonderful tool. I run into something very similar to it in several different places. And the whole point of it is, everywhere I run into it, they say the same thing. This is a skill to be developed. The time to learn this skill is like, you know, the time to learn to shoot your rifle is not when the polar bear is charging at you. So the time to learn this skill and how to use responsibility communication or Robert Bolton's reflective listening or the Imago Dialogue by whatever his name who does that is not in the middle of an argument with your partner. The time to learn those skills and to practice those patterns is day-to-day in simple things. Just like I said before about this idea of tuning into my anger, fear, sadness, hurt, shame, blame, guilt, confusion, every day watching for the early warning signs of those things, and even on the little things, catching myself and saying, okay, take a breath, back up, and gently ask questions about how this is going to work out for the best and how this might be a lesson I need to learn and how this might turn into a blessing. And I do it for little things like the coffee spilling or the car not starting. And I do it day after day after day. And then when something really important happens, there's half a chance that I'll tune into it before I've amassed some more time, logged more time in the category of anger or fear or sadness.
Makes sense.
Practice on the simple things.
I think that's the only way that it can be done. So let's say hi to Rex really quick, because, you know, Rex and I are going to go to prison tomorrow, and so we both won't be here. So, Rex, your microphone's hot now. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Michelle?
Good.
Awesome.
I was trying to explain to Dr. Tim before you got on the call today about the Michigan State Michigan rivalry. He thought I was just graduating from school this weekend. I said, no, you could hear the yells because of Michigan State winning.
Well, sure. When they won, it made all of us feel great.
We talked about that.
No, actually, that was fun. It was enjoyable. It triggered a lot of happiness in me. It triggered a lot of thoughts about things that seemed to really generate a lot of feelings that I could relate to, joy and so forth. And in the process, actually bringing that up, I was aware of how good I felt. And when I'm in that space, I do the best I can to remember, and I did it this time during the game and then after. I just felt happy. And it was like, well, they really kicked their butt. Well, that's something I want to look at, you know, because if someone else kicks their butt, you know, and they show them how good they are, and that whole thing is competitive thing, which I grew up in, it's ideal to just step back and go, wait a minute, Rex. You just watched a sporting event, and now you feel happier than you did before. So then it's a great topic for a worksheet, you know, MSU beating Michigan, and then how do I feel or I think, and so forth. And what I chose to do with that is that I just reminded myself that I'm the cause of my happiness, I'm the cause of my sadness, I'm the cause of what I'm looking upon relative to this game. And it was good because it just reinforces the idea that I have a say over what I think and feel versus the world's pattern of saying we don't have a say and we're just victims. So that's right in line with what I was going to share, too, because we're just a few minutes here. Dr. Tim, great sharing on that piece that you had relative to, you know, when you wake up in the morning. The only question I had for you on that was, and where I was in a little disagreement, or maybe I just didn't understand how you were, you know, phrasing it to yourself.
Oh, come on, Rex. Michael. You disagreed with me?
Well, I don't know if I did or not, but I did. What resonated in me from your conversation was a disagreement in my mind anyway, so I'll take a look at that, and that's what I'm looking at. That's why I brought it up. The only part was the question when we're teaching the Why Workshop. Remember the question where we asked the group, hey, how many people here expect sometime in the future that they hurt or they'll get angry or they'll get sad? And then almost everybody who hasn't heard the question before raises their hand. And then the next comment is, now let me ask you, you're in the present moment and you look like you're feeling relatively calm and peaceful and you're happy and you're smiling, but yet you have an expectation of a negative thing happening in the future to you. Is that sane or insane? And the answer is obviously, if I have a projection in the future that I'm expecting to feel pain and expecting to have a negative thing happen or a bad thing happen, then it would be ideal to shift that reality in me. And if it does happen, I can presence love more consciously, and I have less added material in my carbon-based memory that says, oh, and this is going to happen again and again and again. So that was the only comment I had relative to your technique, because I thought I love it. I do something very similar, except that I don't say I'm going to have something bad happen today. And that's, you didn't say bad.
Neither do I.
Okay, because what was your languaging then? Because there's something that's going to happen today that will look like something. Go ahead and tell me what your wording was.
I have no idea what it was, but I'm in full agreement with what you just said. So however I may have misspoken earlier, take what you said. That works well.
Beautiful. Yeah, and it's a matter of, absolutely. I know when I wake up in the morning, I say, okay, Ruka, guide my words, guide my thoughts, guide my day. And if I'm off the mark, if I happen to be off the mark, guide me back on the mark. Remind me to breathe. Remind me to stay conscious. Remind me to presence love. Remind me to, you know, and that's what I send my day off on running most of the time. I mean, sometimes
right,
I wake
well,
up
let's
and
do
I don't
that.
Have it.
Let's do that. We've got a minute left, so we're going to wrap this up, invite people back to the show tomorrow. Rex and Michelle won't be here, but we will hold down the fort toward the best of our ability tomorrow. The chat room might be a little quiet because I'll be working the switchboard. Join us again tomorrow and the rest of the week and have the best year yet of your eternal life. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.